privilege of being with him, going around the world with him. He had to put up with me. In the hotel rooms and everything else. And I got delirious one night, and I kept him awake all night while I'm talking in my sleep and did all kinds of things. He has really been a blessing to my life, and I know that he will be a blessing to you. Brother Moore, it's good to see you with us tonight.
Yeah.
And Brother Matty, come and speak to us.
We had a lot of preaching up at Armona, but that poor little microphone took a beating. Everybody's got it to hammer on it. Preachers, I suppose, but they can't afford it for them. They can't. But they sure would. That's my fault. Good to be here with you for more reasons than one. Have a strong affection for Brother Phillips. And it isn't because of his good looks. But he's a studious student. You know, I had a New Testament sort of that. What in the world? Good to see you. I thought he was talking about somebody up here. And New Testament survey class this year, first year student. And the New Testament is the textbook. Now, you children in school, what does the teacher tell you to do with your textbook? Read it, God. Read it. That's your textbook. Study it. Read it. And over 50% of first year students, most of whom said they're God called preachers, lost 10 points on their grade because they didn't read the Gospel at all. I don't understand it yet. Or the Flotsam, but I just had them next year. Who wants that to be 2 years ago? Jerry Waymire's in a different position. He passes them on first year, he's got them the second year. Can't get rid of them. But can you understand that? I don't have any way of understanding why they won't read their Bible and you give them 10 points for it. Something lacking somewhere. Brother Phillips was always a student that stayed ahead of the instructor. Every class I spoke, stayed ahead. He liked the class was a drag on him. I mean, it is. You know, it's like a mule with a new bridle. It's always going ahead. You know, that's why I have a fondness for him and respect. Well, it's good to see Brother Max here. He's an old timer. I said it. Good to see him anytime. You reminds me of a mountain, you don't move, you know, he's there, okay. Able, stick ability. Kept asking if you're ready to go, Pastor Church. Not yet, brother. How many years? 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Finally, one day, walked up and said, if any church gets in touch with you and asks somebody to come preach you a call, I'm ready, brother. And he was ready, and I think this first church was ready then. They had already called me or something. I called and told Brother Max. Yeah, they asked for me after that. So I asked him why. He kept me a test. He was a policeman. He was a policeman. He arrested a man. The man had a gun in his hand. He didn't hear the gun, any action from the gun at all, he said. Well, they took it in, booked the man, arrested him. The shell that was in the chamber was a misfire. the trigger had been pulled on it. And it didn't go on. He said, "Brother, I was just that close. Not preaching the gospel." He, I think the Lord's trying to put the chaitis on him. Like the old eagle, you have to take the dawn out of the nest, and finally the thorn got to stick in the little eagle. It wasn't comfortable in that nest too much longer. It had to get out. Start flying a little. All right. Tonight, I'm going to just use practical lessons. I don't know what your status is around here. I think you're in pretty good shape. Brother Phillips is. I think you are too. So I'm just going to preach. Tonight, I'll preach a little about the church in the morning, tomorrow night, Sunday morning. That's all I have to preach. So I'm a member of the church. I'm not going to preach that.
Amen.
Let's look to the book of Acts, in the first chapter. A little statement here. I want to use an entire verse even. In verse 8. Acts, the first chapter, verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Shall be my witnesses." The condition for this, Lord Jesus was speaking to his apostles. These apostles were those of whom he had commissioned, upon which the church was built, Paul said. Built upon the apostles and the prophets as Jesus Christ himself to the church of Ephesus. Alright? Now, the church has this kind of a witness. Witness of whom? Jesus Christ. You shall be, not might be, not perchance you will be, but you shall be. That's a positive statement. There's an Arkansas statement like this. There's simply no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be my witnesses. Now, does a church member find any way out now? It is. Now, he's speaking to those upon whom the church is built. The church members don't have to go back and receive the commission again. It's like the baptism on the day of Pentecost in the Holy Spirit. Don't have to go back and receive that baptism again. It never quit.
Amen.
This commission never quit. And every time one joins the church, now they do not have to go back and say, "Will somebody tell me what to do?" Brother Paul Whitcomb, back to you know him well, one Sunday, was you there? I preached on the Great Commission. Thought I did a marvelous job. I mean, I really preached that commission. And when I got through, gave the invitation, I said, "Anybody, it's all standing. Anybody have anything to say before we dismiss?" So Paul said, "Yes. Well, man, what are we supposed to do?" I thought I'd spend 35 minutes telling what he's going to do. But he hadn't gone yet. I said, "Make disciples, baptize them, indoctrinate them." He said, "Oh, well, why did I think of that?" You know, you really don't know where the minds of people are. Sometimes you feel as if the audience is right down on you. Haven't you felt it? And at times you holler and yell, you reach, you fall, you kick, and stomp, spit, spew, scream, and do everything. And you can't get them inside even. They just keep going away. You really don't know where they are. But we know this. Church members, the Lord's churches now, has no prerogative other than to be a witness of Jesus Christ. This is the commission of the church. Jesus had formally commissioned these same brethren and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. As you are going, make disciples." baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Now, this is a commission. Brother Max had a commission in one city as a policeman. Now, he could go into another city under special arrangements and enforce the law that he was commissioned to uphold in another city. But you did have to have provision for it, didn't you? And he had the commission to enforce the law wherever he was under certain conditions. But with the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are no conditions. We're to make disciples in all nations. All nations. No exception. Okay. You don't know who's going to be the next one you make. You don't know the next one you talk to is going to become a disciple either. But you don't have any prerogative other than to be a witness. I hope that's understood, because I'm going to leave that right now. I'm going to leave it. Come back to it in an hour or so. Now, in the book of Hebrews, I want you to notice something that absolutely knocked me on my heels the other day when I was reading it. I just couldn't understand it, really. A man named Jacob, who was named Israel, and ahead of the 12 tribes of Israel. The fellow got mentioned in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, that's a faith chapter, isn't it? Faith chapter. He got mentioned, but I want you to notice how that fellow got mentioned. Just look at it. In the 21st verse of the 11th chapter, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, Lord, have mercy, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of the staff. He was decrepit, old, worn out, used up. But where was he? At that time, he was down in Egypt for physical survival. In a country where God said to Moses years later, tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may serve me. Pharaoh on one of those occasions said to Moses, they can go out here in the mountains and worship God. And Moses said, no, they can't worship God in Egypt. They have to come out. There, in a land where God could not be worshipped, was the man Jacob. Now, who was he? Who was he? You go back to about the 30th chapter of Genesis and come forward. And you see that Jacob was a twin, son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And if you want to know something else, look how much Isaac was mentioned in verse 22. Fewer words concerning him than was given to Jacob. In the faith chapter we're talking about now, these are the heroes of faith. Look how small a mention of them. And he was the one Abraham, in the preceding verses, had offered up, verse 17, had offered up unto God. Now, these were men of the covenant relationship with God, through whom God declared himself to be responsible for raising up kings and priests and nations. He had covenanted with Abraham, and the eternal God cannot make a partial or a temporary covenant. He has to make everlasting covenants. They never end. Never end. God does end. His covenant doesn't end. You swear by himself, chapter 6, for there was nobody greater with whom he could swear, you know. And so when God makes a covenant, it's everlasting. God he made with Abraham could not end. They had no prerogative but to submit to the covenant relationship with God. So like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where it is. Cost to stay in this covenant relationship. Now you look at, with me with Jacob as he takes off on his life journey. The first mention of him after the birth, of course I had a good gal, you know, in Israel, our missionary for years over there. I thought he was Jewish, but he was Arabic, you know. I had him in my home down in Anaheim. My daughter worked for a Jew, good friend of ours. And a good gal from Jordan there, or Palestine, he was having dinner with me in Anaheim, so I called this Jew and asked him to come over to services tonight. Got a man from Israel going to speak to us tonight. And from the table, dinner table, Bud goes, yelled out, tell him he's still a hold of my heel. Now the whole Lord. What did I do, you know? See, Jacob, when Esau, the elder son, was born, Jacob had a hold of Esau's heel. See, that's the way they were born. Esau first, then Jacob. And that Arab over there said he was the descendant of Esau, you know. And I thought he was a Jew. Over in that tribe, I didn't think about Arab in that part. They don't, you heard him, they never would say Palestine, our God, the Arab God, he'd say, occupy Jordan. Never would say Palestine, he just wouldn't say it. No way, but they were ardent enemies ever since Esau and Jacob separated. Esau said, you can't stay here. I'll get to that in a minute. But Jacob, first ordeal was to find Esau on his way home from a hunt with no game, hungry. And he didn't really trick him out of that birthright with a mess of pottage, whatever that was. It was food. Esau was hungry. But the apostle said that Esau despised his birthright.
Amen.
He despised it. And he so cheapened his birthright in despite that he traded it for one small meal. Just one meal. He said, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. What good would a birthright be? He didn't value it very much. And he knew from whom that birthright came.
Amen.
He knew it, but he despised it. And my father-in-law asked me in July, he'd been in the ministry 4 to 5 years, he's over from Fort Worth, or in December when he got over there. That was a month before that. December, wasn't July, was it? Anyhow, he said, you think Egypt and Israel will come to peace terms? I said, well, about 3,000 years ahead. I don't know whether they will now or not. But what good will it do one way or the other? There are no people. Egypt was dead when God brought Israel out of there. They never have been alive.
Amen.
Hey, no people or no nation. The Arabics have all kinds of gods. They go down to Mecca, they have another 40 or 50 gods they have to learn when they get down there every year. You know. Just keep on finding new gods. And every time they put in a new crop, irrigate it, and it grows, they got to create another god to go with it, to bless it. They're paganistic people. While we were standing at the wailing wall in Jerusalem, Brother Ernest Crawford pulled out his hanging old brother back there. All those people out of the wailing wall, they're praying for the Messiah to come. Probably they'll break your heart. I heard it. They're atheistic buzzards, every one of them. Why weep over atheism, professed, profound atheism. Can't get it any worse than that. But why get stirred over people that's praying for a Messiah? Their Messiah. That's as bad as the Mormons. They got one 1,800 years too late. It's not ours. They got a Christ, but he's not the right one. Not the right one. And they might get one 400 years after the Mormons got one, but it won't be Jesus Christ.
think he's going to be anti-Christ.
But the thing of it is, Jacob wasn't satisfied with the birthright. Through the help of his mother, Rebecca, he was exercising it. He was a descendant of Abraham, wasn't he? He was within covenant relationship with God, but he was still operating on his own. He never had. He didn't go in and tell Isaac, Papa, I know you can't see well. And Esau isn't here to kill you of venison and make you of innocent stew. And I'm going to go out and kill a goat and make you a stew instead. He wouldn't say that. That would have been honest. The Hebrew wasn't honest. There are too many of you, and that's it. But the thing of it is, he tricked Isaac and got the blessing that was rightfully Esau's. And so God then later on said, Esau I hated, Jacob I loved. How can you figure that? Esau despised his relationship with God.
Amen.
And Jacob wanted that relationship bad enough to steal it. He wanted it. He worked it, but he was doing it his way. His way. Well, his way got him chased out of his homeland. Esau hopped behind it. Rebekah said, you better go, son, over to the land of my brother. And you don't, Esau, I'm going to kill you. Well, on his own, with all of the covenant relationship he had of God. That doesn't mind you, somebody in the church. You shall be my witnesses.
Amen.
You shall be, but I'm going fishing this next weekend. Is that the way it goes? I've got to crank up a motor myself. All right. Now, with his own ingenuity, he spent a night at Bethel, the place he named. I think that's Jerusalem, they call it now. But nevertheless, had a dream that night, and God came on the scene. Is it time now? Is it time, Jacob? Can I trust you? Are you any good? Are you workable? Are you usable? You got my covenant. You got my blessing. You're in line from Abraham. That makes you perfect in your generation. Can I use you yet? Showed him the ladder into heaven, the angels descending and asking you. Jacob woke up the next morning and said, this is a dreadful place. The Lord is here. Isn't that just about like it is when we aren't serving God? Reminds me of a cat. Too late to get his tail out of the door when it slammed on him, you know. Door had been there all along, but the cat didn't scream. And the door coming to 1 inch before it hit his tail, the cat didn't scream. Potential pinch was there all along, but it didn't scream. Until the door hit his tail. Cat spoiled. That's the way the children of God are in churches today. Go along, I won't witness. I know God sent for me to. I've got the gospel. Study my Sunday school lesson. Teacher last Sunday told us how to win a soul with the Lord. I know how I was saved. I've got that testimony. But I waited 8 weeks. You know, next week, child gets sick, nearly has an automobile accident. House catches on fire, lost his insurance policy. A lot of things happen, and he starts squalling. Lord, help me! Do what? Get your tail out of crack? No, you want relief. That's what it is. And where does that relief come? Witnessing. That's where it comes from. It's all you got to do. All you're supposed to do. All you ever had to do. All you're going to have to do. With you shall be my witnesses. Didn't say you're going to be my preacher. You might well be.
but preaching you'll be witnessing. He didn't say he wanted to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. You may well be. But your job will be witnessing more. Doesn't matter. You might just be a bitch warmer. But your job will be witnessing. It's the only job I have. Only story. Jacob had a covenant relationship with God. They anointed that oil when he laid his head that night. Now remember this, please. But he went on into his uncle's land, led his daughter. He met Rachel out at a well. He ran some men off who wouldn't let her water her sheep. Got her sheep water, fell in love with her. Went on down to Laban, bargained for work for 7 years for her. Laban gave him the wrong woman. He's still operating on his own, you see. Had all of the covenant relationships he ever had with God. But he's still operating on his own. Just God. 14 years it cost him to labor to get a couple of women. A couple of concubines. Of course, he got busy in that meantime. Time. He got both of them at the end of the 7 years. After he spent the night with the wrong one. Had to marry or inherit it. So Laban threw in Rachel as a gift for another 7 years of labor. And in the meantime, they were having sons. I guess daughters, they just didn't mention. I shouldn't have said that. But it was a long time before women got important enough to get mentioned. But anyway, just sons, that's sticky, isn't it? I mean, that's bad. Sons. All right. And so he bargained with Laban. And said, you work for me, Lord, and I'll give you all the spotted cattle. Stop. And so with his own ingenuity, he put up a spotted pole. All of them were born, became spotted. Edom saw this after a few years. He wasn't dumb. He was the head of that Jewish clan. And here now, all of them spotted. But they were all here. I'll give you from now on all of the solid colors. Old Laban took down a spotted pole, put up a solid apparatus. They became solid color. And he just got wealthy. And disgusting. The sons of Laban became jealous with him, his own first cousins, you know. They got jealous. He was not wanted there any longer. Honestly, he was repulsive. His very name smelled to his own relatives. And Laban said, something's got to come off here. Jacob said, I know, uncle, but God has already told me to go back to Bethlehem. Well, he made preparation. And then he sneaked out. He stole one of his gods, put it under a sick blanket, so he wouldn't inspect the bags you're sitting on. And I tell you, he did everything wrong. He was looking out for Jacob. He wanted all that God had for him and all Jacob could make for Jacob, too. He wanted everything, just like the charismatic movements today. They want everything they want to do, but they want to worship Jesus, too. So since their personal, physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, they can do no wrong with that body. Whatever it wants to do is right because it's sanctified. Have you ever heard anything outside of hell sound so august? It's repulsive, isn't it? Repulsive. But that's the invasion of spiritual wickedness that we're battling today. And they say they're right. I think they know they're wrong, but some people, Paul said, would be such strong delusions and would believe a lie in these last days because they will not give heed to the doctrines, sound doctrine. Go away from it and will believe lies. But Jacob went ahead, taking off. He didn't go to Bethel. He said, I'll go by way of my homeland. Well, that night, one night, he sent his different bands of stock, cattle, wives, children, across the creek. But he remained there. And we say so often that Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night. That is erroneous.
The scripture said the Lord wrestled with Jacob all night. That makes a difference. Now, Jacob didn't want the Lord. But after all that, Jacob wouldn't let him depart until he'd blessed it. Already touched his thigh, and his hip became dislocated, a cripple. He said, your name will be called no longer Jacob, but Israel. Prince of God, warrior of God. Now look at that title, Prince of God. And Jacob was still scared out of his high heel shoes. Weren't the sandals in those days? Really, he was still scared. He was afraid of Esau. Now he dreaded Esau. But the next day, he couldn't run from him. He was crippled. Esau started running toward him. Somebody in class one day, and I had to think of something quickly, but I hadn't thought of it. Answered the question. He said, well, why did Jacob stand there? Why didn't he run? I said, he's crippled. I was glad to have that handy. Prove how smart again. But he couldn't. He was dislocated. He was crippled the rest of the day. And Esau came and said, I don't want all these gifts. I'm a wealthy man. Wealthy. Jacob couldn't even satisfy his conscience by partially repaying what he'd stolen from Esau. That was in an awful fix. Couldn't even have a clear conscience. But he was God's covenant. Oh, we can get in a big scandal. Terrible. That's what the Hebrew writers are terrible to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, David, how's it feel? David said, though I fall, he will not utter or cast me out. But with his right hand will he lift me up. That's what you call a healthy hand. Terrible to fall in the hands of the living God. Terrible. Saw him in a sinking pit. I cried to him, David said. And he heard. He lifted me up. Set me on a solid rock. Established my going and put a new song. He's a gracious God. But Jacob hadn't called on God yet. Just hadn't done it. The Lord had talked to him a few times. But Jacob would not call upon the Lord. Wouldn't do it. I don't know if he hadn't taught his children how to pray. You know, now lay me down to sleep. You know, something like that. Lord, bless this food. You know. We're about to take off. Amen. Bless Mama, Papa, Marie, John, Fuji, Jim, school teacher, football team, Republicans. Bless everybody can think of, you know. That's good praise. Good praise. He may have taught his kids something like that, but he hadn't called on the Lord yet. And the Lord told him to go back to Bethlehem. Esau said, you can't stay here. Get out. Land is big, but not big enough for us. You go. Then Jacob had to leave again. Went down to another city called Sychar. There his two sons brought shame upon him, offering their Hebrew girls for wives for the men of the city, had all of them circumcised, become proselytes, then killed. Took all their with them. And Jacob said to them, you brought stink upon my house. They'll seek my life. Now they're going to kill him. So there's why he introduced a new subject. He was getting closer to God now. He said, El Hoa. God is the God of this house. Then I touch me, boy. God's the God of this house. He brought God in as a co-partner with him now. God's my shield, my buckler, my stave, my fortress, my cover. He's my comfort. Don't touch me, boys. I know I stink, but don't touch me. And so then they went to Salem. Finally, there he built a house. Then had to move. Before he went to Bethel,
He was still on his own, but God said, go to Bethel.
Before he went to Bethel, he introduced something else new that he hadn't done before. He sent word around to his household, wash. Clean yourselves up. Put away all your strange gods. That took care of Levit, God brought out. Put away. He had to do something to you. And change your clothes. We're going to Bethel. And he was a long time running on his own initiative. But God would not forsake him. He's God. He's the same God that said, through his Son, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Now, are we the witnesses of God? Or are we going to sit around like Israel did and hear the old prophet say to the farmers ended? The harvest is over, and Israel is not saved. Israel, God's covenanted people, were not saved. They were still headed for captivity, destructive dispersion, and the loss of identity as a nation. Even a divorcement from covenant relationship with God as his chosen people. They were in for a terrible disaster. But nevertheless, Jacob started suffering sorrow. Joseph was sold to Egypt under the providence of God, but they didn't know it. His wife died. He gave birth to Benjamin, as she was giving birth. This was the one he literally worked 14 years for. That's why he loved her much. Now she did. Joseph's gone. Some said a wild beast tore him apart. Old Jacob just grieved his heart out. All the time, Egypt was getting into the hands of Joseph. Joseph was going to be their survival, which proved to be, and under much strenuous circumstances, Jacob finally went into Egypt. And in dying, he blessed Joseph's son, you're dying. That's terrible just to think about a church member. With covenant relations, Jacob had all of God's covenant all the time. He could have been identified as God's man any time he'd have called on the Lord. But it evidently was foreordained and predestinated that he didn't do it. At least he did. I don't know why he didn't, but he wouldn't. Today we have folks that work, do you not have husbands and wives working, trying to afford a house, hiring babysitters? We do. It takes a little more to live down in Anaheim than it does here. Not much, but a little more. You get on unemployment down there, you start hurting mom and papa back in Oklahoma, Texas, and move fast because unemployment just won't get you by there too well. Have to have a little on the side. But everybody works. Home is just about a cheap hamburger joint. Run by, grab a bite to eat and go. Just not much there. Real tired. Turn down the cover and get a quick hour or two of sleep, hit the alarm, get up early and go again. Why? Got to have some of this world's goods. Got to have it. Why do we want it? Because God said, I'm going to burn it up. I want it so I can pay taxes on it. Why? Because God said, I'm going to burn it up. It doesn't sound right, does it? When you look at it from a fool's way, which is the only approach I have to anything, You know, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't pan out right. But don't we labor for it? Really want some of it. Gonna get some of it. But the Lord gave a simple assignment, said, you are my witnesses. Not my property holders. You're my witnesses. What else is there to do? Now the world, everybody had. My brother-in-law went to Shreveport, Louisiana one time. Went to the Baptist College down there. Jimmy Thornton had started. It's a speckled bird type deal, you know. Now it's completely universal. They went to the dogs as far as I'm concerned. And Jimmy's a good friend of mine. Jimmy, my brother-in-law, said, I know I'm where God wants me to be here in Shreveport working in this school because I was able to buy this house here. I said, Jimmy, your neighbor down there, he go to school all the way, you know. He is even a Christian. You know, universalists can say that better people. Christian. And are you sure that he didn't buy that house under the will of God? It made him know as a lost man, that's where he's supposed to be. He bought a house. And you said it made you know you're supposed to be here because you bought a house. Came available, you can buy it. Lost people have been high buying houses all along without praying. And they were honest enough that a lost person won't even accuse God of binding that big a debt on them. we mess things up, don't we? We get our wrong perspective before us. Strain at a net and swallow a camel. Throw a couple of pink elephants in as chasers. Oh, we go at it in the wrong way. Pray for God to bless us with a house. Preachers, come to me that God gave us that piece of land over there. I said, how much you own it? $50,000. Well, they lied right through the deep. God didn't give them that land. They have any promised land. Promised to Israel, didn't they? And they have earthen vessels with their titles in it all over that place. They're going to dig them up one of these days and reel them. That is, the prophet said they would. But they think they are. But he didn't promise that as a gift, did he? Did he promise you something like that? And I, we paid $1,520 a month property. That's fine. Big for building. To use 5 hours a week. That's all we use, 5 hours a week. That's an expensive 5 hours a week, isn't it? And all that. Well, we're nuts. That's as simple as you put it. Just absolute idiots. Go to that extreme to have a place in which we can invite our friends, and they won't think we're too hick. You know, we're up to date. We got a building with doors in it. Carpet it on the floor. Fluorescent lights so we can see in there. All it amounts to. Somebody said, that's the house of God. But now, God gave a blueprint on the tabernacle, but I don't find one for a church house. Even Jude forgot to write about that in the 5th chapter. Honestly, we got things turned over. Why? Because we're just like Jacob. We want what we want, and we go to work and get what we want, and $1,520 a month would pay 2 missionaries full-time salary on the field. And we're sitting in a building with that now. $350 a month. Utilities? Yeah. All about $60 a month. Insurance? Yeah, we're living high. Souls are going down. But we're living high. In a high. Why? Because we want something. Sir, like others. Jacob didn't like the idea of living in tents like his papa, grandpa did. Abraham was nothing. But look at how he was mentioned in the 8th chapter. Look at it. God gave him a lot of space and faith. But he lived in tents. Oh, Jacob started building a house every once in a while. Wanted some of that. Folks, you could be as miserable as all get out by ignoring the fact that your witnesses are. All you that labor and heavy labor, Matthew 11:48, and I will give you rest. What are the next words, though? Take my yoke up on you. The cow. He came in the South Pole with that one. He really had momentum built up. Take my yoke up on you and learn of me. That's a command any way you look at it. I'll give you rest. But you take my yoke upon you, and you learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And there's no Negro in South Arkansas that I listen to religiously every Sunday afternoon. He's a Baptist from the backyard. I got most of my preaching from that. He tells me no lie, boy. He'd butcher the English every once in a while, but there's one uncanny ability I have, I could understand butchered English. I knew exactly what he's talking about. He said, now the Lord finished up by saying, for my yoke is easy and the burden light. He said, you will find, folks, that means in the original language, I don't know which one he had reference to, the original, I will not load your cart with more than you and I can bear along. And I know that's the truth because I looked it up. It's to, I won't load you with more than you and I alone can bear. Brother, that's as simple as you can get it, but it's a solid truth. The Lord in meekness said, you're my witnesses. Why? Because you've got the power to be my witnesses. You've got the commission to be my witnesses, and you're the only people in the world that have it. You who are built upon the apostles. Not the 2,000 renegades that's come along since with every ism and schism and cult and denomination. Everything that's had a beginning since the personal ministry of Christ is in spiritual warfare against your faith. Everything that calls itself a religion, even in the name of Jesus and especially in his name. But you have power. Not given to them. You shall be my witness after that the power is come upon you. Shall you? Now we are his witnesses, but his power never came. If his power came and it surely did, we are his witnesses. Now, search the heart carefully and see where you stand before God. If all you can muster up in servitude toward God of your own ingenuity, or is it unctioned by the power of God? Which is it? Is it yours or is it God? If it isn't God, then I'm afraid you don't have this kind of experience that Paul said the church at Colossae had in the 3rd chapter and verse 3 when he said, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Do you have that experience, that relationship? Is your life hid with Christ in God? Or you're still leaning upon your own dead ingenuity, on your life. Well, that word, that expression wasn't used 20 years ago in the faith. The charismatic movement has brought that into existence, folks. Believe me, The charismatic movement has brought that. We used to call it Pentecostal. Then we called it Holy Roller. And now it's charisma. Same doctrine. Same pulsation. Same physical, emotional radicalism mixed with a little spirituality. Just woven, interwoven spiritual warfare against us. Same thing. Today it's find out what God has for me in my life. God bless your heart, this Bible says, but you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. The only life you have is the life of Christ. And that's in the center of God's will. You don't have to find out what God has for you in your life. What did he have for Jesus who said, as the Father has sent me into the world, even so sent I you into the world. John 20, 21. But he prayed to the Father, 17 and 18, and said, Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I these into the world. These are the ones thou hast given me, a lost man, but the son of perdition. I have sent them in the same manner which I came. 19:10 of Luke says, but the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You shall be my witnesses. Are you leaning on your own ingenuity, or have you called on the Lord as his covenant people? And are you going to be witnesses for the Lord? Or are you going to get up in the morning and say, I'll do it another time. I'll do it another time. I haven't gone by to see Esau yet. I haven't gone by and let my son kill off a town of people. Scavenge it and bring stink on my arm. I haven't gone over to Salem and built myself a house yet, you know. I'll get to Bethel one day. But you know, in dying, he blessed his son in a land that could not serve God. He would even permit his bones to remain there, had them brought out. It's an awful place. He's leaning on a crutch when he blessed them. Time slips by. Honestly, I can remember 50 years ago clearer than 10 years ago. Time is going fast. Just a little while back, I had three little old girls running around in my house. I would spank any time I got ready. They loved me, I guess. Said to me. Say they still do. When I get sick, I give their cards. I love you. Flowers. I'm pretty sure they do. One way or the other. But you know, they're not running around the house anymore. Grandkids running around the house. And it won't be but just a few more rainy seasons when great grandkids are going to be running around the house. Oh, it goes fast. And I can stand here and tell you that you can spend too much of your time on your own ingenuity like this, and time will go. It will go. And you know something? You won't be forgiven. That time of lethargy in this life nor the world to come, it can't be forgiven. You can't make it up. That day is gone. It never shall be made up. That soul you could have led to the Lord today could be leading a soul to the Lord tomorrow, and you could be leading another one to the Lord tomorrow, you see. See what the Lord meant, you shall be my witnesses. Might have to go to prison, but you're my witnesses. Where do you stand before God tonight? Is summer ended? Is the harvest over? Are you saved? As a child of God, are you saved from yourself for usableness for the Lord? Are you dead
Do you realize that your life is His with Christ in God? Look at the relationship. For Christ's sake, go back to Bethel and come out of there without sorrow. Go back first. Don't go by the way you planned. Go to Bethel first. God's there. God's there. Where did you meet? Paul could say, as you have, therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. We're all ready now. As we stand and sing, and Brother Philip, go ahead. You give an invitation?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me what to do, sir.
Go ahead and give one, brother.
All right. You stand and sing. Brother Philip, you stand here. My director, John, musicians, why don't you thank these who labor here, the physicians, choir director? They don't get paid for that labor, but they're faithful, aren't they? Faithful. You're faithful to come and attend services. Are you faithful in your witnessing for Christ? Are you in a position to be so? If you haven't been saved, everybody in the world knows how to be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it to be the Son of God. That gospel Paul said in his day hath reached every tongue, every kindred, every tribe. In other words, every generation, he said, has received this gospel. Will you not respond to the conviction of God in your heart right now? Whatever is necessary to repent, to repent. Call on the Lord. Just call on Him. Call on Him. Don't be a Jacob and wait until you're dying before you do a march for God worth mentioning. It can be done with His covenant relationship. Don't allow that to happen. Why we say whatever you need, what you know.
3-7-7.
Will you come to the Lord tonight?
Just as the
My sheep know me. They hear my voice and they respond to it. And they do follow me. They do follow me. They do my will. My sheep. Are you His sheep now? Are you the sheep of the Lamb of God, the shepherd of your soul? Do you follow Him? If not, why not do it? Why not just do it tonight? You can't turn over a new leaf. There's always another one to turn. Just give the whole book to the Lord. Just the whole book. Don't need to turn them. Take cover to cover. Take all of it and use me for your glory. Won't you do that while we sing one more stanza, Brother
Plain as that. all of us need to repent daily. Every one of us. Brother Madden, thank you so much for that message from the Word of God. Now you know why I love to go down there so much. Amen. Like that every day. Come back in the morning, 10 o'clock, we will get some more of that. And I'm looking forward to it much. I know the two have all this week and last week and the week before, but since I asked Brother Madden to come, I could hardly wait for him to get here, and hallelujah, he did. Amen.
Brother Philip, I have to say that this really is a fine, sweet time.
Amen.
I wouldn't have had this many now. I'm old. Also, it isn't making a living now.
They're addicted to the Word of God. Amen for that. I'm proud of that for them. They give me joy in my heart as I see them eat the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to see the Word of God, love the Word of God, and want to receive it. That's all I've got to say. I love this much. They know it anyway. Amen. Brother Moore, it's good to have you. This guy came all the way from Los Angeles to be down here, so you make him welcome. He's one of those fellows I go to school with down there on Thursday and Friday. Brother Jones could make it, I guess.
Right, couldn't
he? I know some of you have met Brother Moore before, and good to have you, brother. Good to have Brother Max with us. And others,
you know, Brother Moore is another good student to have in the classroom.
Amen.
You're in.
He's another one of those eternal students. Been there for a long time. Brother Hernandez, it's good to have you with us again, or tonight. Well, we have a good feast up there in Armona, but we got some more of it tonight here for Philip. Amen. Yes.
I went to the church from the Bible. He's coming down for a few minutes.
All right. Remember, Brother Bobby, she comes down. Be here for the revival also. Anything before we dismiss tonight? Brother Jay?
I'd like the church to remember my wife in prayer. She's very down heart this time. She has some bad news concerning her mother, and she's not good after the operation, but that's why she's not here tonight. She really wants to tell her. So I'd like the church to remember, and also Yvonne, you know, with his mother. She's doing better, but she's in church prayer. So.
That's his prayer request. I'll also see another one back there from the Spanish mission. Good to have her with us tonight, too. Thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor, would like to be prayed for. He would just get a blood sugar attack today. Anything, yes. Anything? Yes. Oh, yes, refreshments after. Know all about that. Thank you. I forget my headphones tied on. We have plenty of refreshments in the back. Just go back there. Please don't bring him into the auditorium afterwards. If you do, say how big a Brother Moore is. He's also the bodyguard down at school. He's the one who's going to take care of the situation. Yes. Yes, we'll be having lunch tomorrow after services. And you're welcome to come and like your friends and everything. Anything else? Yes, Brother Ness.
I want to pray for me and my wife that every Saturday we go to LA to learn about to learn the Lord better and Spanish. It's hard head. I might be a hard head Baptist, but I'm excited to learn. My desire in my heart to learn to serve the Lord better.
Amen. Good to have each and every one of you here. Is everything? Is that everything? Okay,
not,
thank
not
you.
That long.
Just a few minutes there, get ready.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I'd like some church to pray for him. He's been, I don't know what his problem is, but he's in San Diego right now, but he's got more problems. Somebody's out there or something, so just pray for him.
Amen. He's heard the word of God enough to know what the Lord's will of his life is. I know it. Pray that he will do the Lord's will. Anything else? Brother Moore, would you offer a blessing upon our expression? Just listen to prayer.
Eternal God, Father, we come to thee tonight thanking you for the many blessings that you have so wonderfully bestowed upon us. So thank you tonight for this people. Thank you for your own spirit. God, we pray, Lord, for this precious thing that you're able, know that you are not willing that anyone should perish. Dear God, we pray that you would willing to set your will be in the shine. Lord, we thank you for the good that you have in our lives. That's the one that made it possible. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you.